lights out, we're underway. Motorsport Republic of Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome the 2024 Formula One Season Review Motorsport Republica.
Here we go.
James Shaw, thank you for joining me this evening.
Well, I join you every year. Thank you for joining me.
I'm really excited about this one. What a year. Probably the most exciting year of recent history.
Oh, from what I can remember.
From what I remember. Like, it was going into every round, there was, you didn't know who was going to win. Mercedes popped up sometimes. Yep. Ferrari were just up and down all year. Yep. Red Bull had a great start to the year, then fell away. And
crazy,
then,
man.
And then McLaren came through and won the Constructors' Championship. So,
out of nowhere.
Like. An amazing year. And we've enjoyed every second of it.
100% we have. Now, before we can kick off all proceedings, just want to say a big thanks to Moto Heaven, our lovely, lovely sponsors. Check them out, motoheaven.com.au, for all your motorcycle needs, accessories, parts, all the hard parts, tires, tire finders, yep. Part finders, and all your big brands, Shoei's, Dying Easy, Alpine Stars, all yep. Those good ones.
Well, we're in a new year now. New year, yep. New beginnings. Maybe in that summer you might get that bike, and you know where to get the accessories, huh?
I'm pretty sure this is getting released on the 30th, but that's all right.
No, it's getting released on the 30th. So yes, you are correct.
Saved you there.
Well, it's New Year's Eve. So
it's New Year's Eve. We're currently doing this and going to like a beach or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not actually 40 degrees right now.
It might be. And guys, we love the support on Patreon. Really appreciate. Join if you haven't joined already. And YouTube. So yeah. Important. YouTube, subscribe, like, comment. Anyone, please let us know how if you have any opinions. We've got the hot takes, all that kind of stuff. So we're all about the fans here. And, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, we're on all the major podcasts.
100%. We're into the dark depths of the off season, but fear not. We've got guests. Yep. Testing's not that far away as well, so it's all happening.
It's all happening, and we're not. It doesn't stop through January. We've got something on every week we're going to be releasing, and obviously we'll be all over social media like we always are.
Always are. Hopefully, Maverick Vinales will unblock us.
Yeah, I mean,
it's the off season.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone, if anyone has any personal, attachment to him, please get him to get in contact. We'll love to have him on. And clear the air, I think, would be the best thing.
People will be listening by the millions.
Now, on tonight's ep, we're going to go through every race one by one, short recap. Obviously, you would have listened to our MotoGP one a couple of weeks ago. And it's fun. It's enjoyable. We like doing this every year. We will be doing this every year. Yeah. And it's a good way of going back and seeing what the year was and how it developed, because I'll tell you one thing, going through these results for specifically F1.
You're struggling on this ep as well.
Specifically F1 is how it went from, you know, it went
I've
from
never
Red
seen
Bull domination
a,
to such
a turnaround in motorsport in my life.
Yeah, right. You were right there, James. James M.F. Shaw. All right, the season began in Bahrain with a Red Bull Racing 1-2. Max Verstappen won ahead of Sergio Perez.
God, and we thought that was it.
That was it.
It was third, sorry.
Carlos Sainz was third. Yeah. So after starting from pole, Verstappen led every lap, took the fastest lap in his fifth career Grand Slam.
I'm assuming that would be Sergio Perez's only and best, only second and best finish for the year. I guess we'll find out. But
we'll soon find out. Perez did finish second at the next race as well. Remember how good a season they had at the start. Yeah. So Verstappen won by 22 seconds against Perez. Charles Leclerc was struggling with brakes, from memory, all through that race. Yeah. So he ended up coming fourth, and then Russell fifth. So we came here on a Monday night and chatting about Moto Formula One with not much excitement, because we thought it was just going to be much of the same throughout the whole year.
It was just dire.
But God, we were wrong. We were so wrong. So interesting start of the year. And again, under lights, that first round, we love it. It's the best. And the cars look great. Unveiling the cars, they're testing there a week before, very similar to MotoGP, with a week before test at a Middle Eastern track.
Yeah, not starting off at Australia like they've done previously as well.
It hasn't been there for a few years, but that's okay. Next year, we'll get Australia back.
When was the last time Australia was the first round?
Oh, like 2015, I think.
Oh, fuck.
Sorry. Jim's our MotoGP correspondent, so
correspondent.
His strong suit.
And we won't cut that out either.
No, we won't. We don't cut anything out.
Maybe bleep a couple of things.
Maybe. Saudi Arabian Grand Prix was up next. Again, utter domination from Max Verstappen finishing in first. Sergio Perez second. Charles Leclerc third. Oscar Piastri fourth. Alonso fifth. I mean, that's when Aston Martin had some form. Shout out to Ollie Bearman in that race. Came in and filled in for Carlos Sainz and getting points, which was incredible.
Appendicitis?
Appendicitis. Yeah, it happened to a few. It happened to two drivers throughout the year because I think Albon later in the year had that same issue. Again, under lights, probably the most craziest track on the calendar. And for Ollie Bearman to come in and to get points, just an amazing result because it is the fastest, twistiest, scariest circuit going around. It is terrifying. So amazing race and really enjoyable. But again, came here on a Monday afternoon. What the fuck? You know, we're going to see Red Bull domination once again. So
It was really looking like it.
It was really looking like
it. It was paying $1.01 that Red Bull was going to win every race.
And the other thing to come out of those first two races was Alpine.
Nowhere.
Last, second last. Yeah. And looked long way from... a long way from it. So Red Bull continued to show their pace in Saudi Arabia.
And Aston was showing a little bit as well, weren't they?
Aston was showing a little bit as well. Lance Stroll had a massive crash actually in that race, which you know allowed the majority of the field to change their strategies. Lando Norris inherited the lead.
Standard.
And then Verstappen overtook him. So, yeah, I mean, signs of appendicitis, as you said. Ollie Bearman, shout out. And he raced in he's had pole in the F2 race in the same weekend. Crazy. So pretty crazy. All right, so we're off to sunny little Australia next. Now
should be the first round.
Well, it will be. Everyone will remember the start of this race. Max started the race in the lead and then some sort of
The mechanical.
Mechanical failure, which was really strange.
I remember he said he was like he was losing drive out of his I assume his rear tires.
The smoke billowing out the
back. Like something was almost rubbing or something was happening.
Very strange. Very strange incident. So Carlos Sainz with the W.
Yeah.
Charles Leclerc, Ferrari 1 and 2. Dream.
Ligon Street went crazy.
Ligon Street did go crazy. And then Norris third. And then Piastri fourth and Perez fifth. So again, really interesting race, and it was that real toing and froing with Sainz and Leclerc from the most of it.
Another top five for Perez.
Another top five for Perez. It starts going downhill after after this. So, it's again we're going into Alpine not doing much.
Yeah.
Some interesting results here and there, but dislodged brake disc from Verstappen.
That's what it was.
That's what it was. So his first retirement since the 2022 Australian Grand Prix. So he did go 2 years. Bit of a bogey track. Went 2 years without without a retirement, which is crazy.
It is crazy.
Ferrari's first 1 and 2 since 2022 Bahrain. So again, 2 years pretty much. And
it doesn't surprise me though that Verstappen hasn't retired because he's always just been out in front for those past
good
2 years.
True. And Norris completed the podium and succeeded Nick Heidfeld for the most podiums without a victory in Formula One.
There's a name.
It is a name. All right. So we return to the beautiful track, beautiful scenery of Suzuka.
Great track.
Max Verstappen back to the lead.
Yeah.
Perez second. Carlos Sainz third. Leclerc fourth. Norris fifth. So we're seeing a bit of a trend here. Carlos Sainz had a really great start of the year. Mm. If you take out that appendicitis in...
Saudi Arabia.
he would have had a great start to the end, almost leading the championship if Max wasn't dominating. So, again, from memories, a great race. And we move on to the Chinese Grand Prix. Much of the same. Verstappen wins.
Well, this is when it was as boring.
Norris second and Perez third. So, we saw a little bit of something from McLaren. So that's when McLaren started showing some taste, some speed and
some spice.
We're getting really excited. And then we move on to the next race. And I was just going to shout out to T Shav as well. We had a shout out to myself.
Yeah.
We had a clip at the start of the year and James said to me, "I see Verstappen winning every race." I said, "Oh, nah, I don't see him winning Miami."
You did say that.
Miami comes around. Even playing field, Norris beats Verstappen.
Yeah.
Leclerc third, Perez fourth, Sainz fifth. And interestingly,
was that Norris's first win? Ever win?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Norris's first win, yeah. That's when I put the bet down, Norris to win five races this year.
That's big.
Paying 15-1, he had form at one. So, typical Shav. That's okay. That's all right. He had plenty of opportunities, but mucked them up a little bit.
Ladies and gentlemen, just a quick reminder, we are proudly supported by the great team down at Moto Heaven. They are absolutely unbelievable to deal with. And if I were you guys, I'd definitely head over to their website.
Yes, you never pay full recommended retail price at Moto Heaven, and free delivery for any order over $100.
100%. And they've got the best, most usable website in the whole motorcycle industry. Dare I say the world. They got parts finders. You can chuck in any bike you want. If it's a gold KX250 or an R1, you can find anything you want. Helmets, they got everything. Head to motoheaven.com.au where you will get everything that you need. That's a guarantee.
Do it. We move on to a million.
So it was a tide starting to turn then.
Tide was starting to turn.
Slowly. Well, you didn't think it was fully.
Well, what happened was it showed that on an even playing field on the even day, Max could be beat.
Mm-hmm.
And McLaren had some real pace. But much of the same, we went back to Imola. Max first, Norris second, but really close.
Yeah.
So Norris was
McLaren back up there a bit.
McLaren back up there. But Leclerc third, Piastri fourth, Sainz fifth. So we saw a little bit of toing and froing. And Norris was chasing most of the race. It was a really, really hard-fought battle. If there was any probably longer straight or easier pass, which we saw the whole year, I mean, Norris just couldn't get past Max. Just didn't happen on the track. We moved to Monaco. A dream win for Charles Leclerc.
One of the moments of the season, don't
you? One of the moments of the season. Massive crash at the start as well with Perez and Hülkenberg and Magnussen. Massive, massive crash. Scary crash, actually. Yep. So Leclerc first, Piastri second, Sainz third, Norris fourth, and George Russell fifth. Mercedes started showing something. Wasn't really McLaren's day, and it was just Charles Leclerc's day.
Alpines come together that race? The Alpines come together?
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, good memory. Don't remember.
I'm pretty sure Ocon took out Gasly or they touched or something.
Yeah, something like that. Something like that, 100%. Let's go back to the race summary. Sorry, guys. Just bring this down here.
Fuck, it's hot.
It is. Has it got hotter in here?
Yeah, I swear it has.
So, Leclerc took pole position at Monaco, ending Verstappen's run of 8 consecutive poles, which is pretty crazy. And he started 8th on the grid that round, Verstappen.
Yeah.
So, massive crash at the start, as we touched on. You're right, the Alpines had a collision. Well done, James. And Leclerc took his first win since the 2022 Australian Grand Prix.
Yeah, that was good.
It was really
It's always good. A good spectacle, like even though it's like the pole that normally wins, but it's always good to watch Monaco. Better not leave that calendar either.
No, 100%. Canada, next up.
Great track.
Max wins in the pouring rain. It was a rain-filled afternoon. Mm. Norris second, Russell third, Hamilton fourth, Piastri fifth. Becoming a little bit of a common sort of top five. And we'll see that flowing through the year.
Well, it's a bit up and down of Mercedes and Ferrari, I guess.
They were sort of like, I don't think they were ever like one and two.
Because then Ferrari and then McLaren were the ones vying for the constructors.
True. Consistency, I suppose, isn't it? But it just shows you how terrible that Perez went in the second half of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, Max won seven of the first nine races. Yeah. You know, it's crazy.
And he's dominated a lot of them as well.
All right, Catalonia, much of the same. Max Verstappen first.
Boring track for F1.
Really boring track. Lucky they took that last chicane out, so that's a little bit more exciting. So Max first, Norris second, Hamilton third, Russell fourth, Leclerc fifth.
Yeah.
Again, much of the same, fighting between Max and Norris, but the whole thing all year, just Norris could not get past Max. Like it was just a common theme. It was just a common theme through the whole year, and we'll soon see them come together at the Austrian Grand Prix. So, famous incident: Max and Norris colliding
in
the second corner. Crazy incident. They were both out of the race pretty much. I think Max pitted and recovered to fifth.
Mm-hmm.
But George Russell wins the race. Piastri second. Carlos Sainz third. Hamilton fourth. And then Max did recover to fifth.
Piastri podium. Always good to see.
Piastri podium. Always good to see. He's going to have a good year next year.
So it was at the start of... Like, there's been a bit of a feud now, obviously. Yep. Maybe a bit more of the catalyst?
A bit more of the catalyst. And I think the other thing was, this is when it showed that McLaren were faster.
Yeah.
This is the turning point. Because he was...
Again, a barometer of a circuit.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, good point. He was faster. He was faster that round. All round, but he just maxed just... Max is Max. Just didn't let him pass. Was never going to let him pass.
And yeah, we see that in races to come.
Well, yeah, exactly.
But that's just his personality as well. And then I think Lando, for this year, got put under a whole lot of pressure because of it.
His team as well.
And his team,
put him under a lot of pressure.
Yeah, true. Great call. Where, you know, you're going up against, if you're fighting for second or third and then against George Russell or Charles Leclerc, whatever, it's a different fight to when you're fighting Max Verstappen, who will take your front wheel out, will take you out, will take himself out to do it.
100%.
You know.
100%.
And then blame you.
Yeah. And then still loved it by the end of the year. Like, that's the other thing with Max. Like, he had a year of incidents and
a lot of controversies
and ridiculous things on the radio said and all sorts of stuff. But at the end of the day, we come out of that season, everyone disliking George Russell
and
Lando Norris and everyone jumping on the Max bandwagon. So you're almost a barometer, James, I think.
Yeah, it could be, because I'm very impartial for F1.
Yeah, I think you're the barometer, which is very interesting.
Very random. You know what, though? Another thing that's been going on for this season is Red Bull and how, okay, they've fallen off of it, but it seems like the team harmony's fallen off as
well. Yeah, 100%. And that started
at the start of the year,
And Christian Horner having his issues with that team personnel, and he was accused of cheating and all
Helmut
sorts
Marco
of stuff.
Helmut Marko was saying all wild shit.
Yeah, he's good. He tells it how it is. That's what you want. So
yeah, 100%. But F1's not like that these days. That's the problem. But it does seem like, you know, the team harmony hasn't been there. No. And even when they were skipping a bit, when you see the end of the season, how they act, like it's... Yeah, I don't know. It's just interesting.
Yeah, it is.
But
it
then,
is.
You know, it's McLaren were now coming into their own issues.
Yeah, well,
In a different style, in a different way.
Different way. Like, they're more like they can't make a hard decision is the big thing for McLaren.
They're two opposite ends of the spectrum. It's like Red Bull were too harsh and McLaren's too nice.
They need to go in opposite directions as well, like our Aprilia and KTM counterparts.
Yeah.
Almost. All right, to the British Grand Prix, Russell took pole position and led for the first half of the race, which was a bit of rain around and then he retired, cooling issue. Norris inherited the lead. From memory, that race, Norris had it in the bag.
He did.
They pitted him under the wrong circumstance and then Hamilton came out and led and won the race, so which was really unexpected. So Hamilton first.
Amazing scenes.
Max second. And Norris third, Piastri fourth again, and then Carlos Sainz fifth.
Amazing scenes for Lewis to win again in Silverstone.
Yeah, it was crazy. And again, he's earned a lot of fans. My old man, for instance, my God, he said to me the other day, he goes, "Geez, I was really, really rooting for Hamilton in that last race."
Did you feel he touch his forehead?
Yeah, I was like, "It's good." Well, yeah, I was gonna say it's not as bloody hot and wet as mine. I'll tell you that for fucking free tonight.
I'm looking at you. I can actually see myself in the reflection of your forehead. It's so shiny.
Well done to Hamilton. It was a incredible British Grand Prix, and for him,
famous race for him to
win this year, because he had a shocking second half of the year. He'll always be remembered for that.
I remember, was it a year after Hamilton lost to Verstappen? They were at Imola and Verstappen lapped Lewis Hamilton. That was a wild scene. Just after battling so close to the last lap of the last race, and then he's getting lapped.
100%. 100%. Hungarian Grand Prix, Mr. Oscar Piastri with his first win. Lando Norris, second. Hamilton third. We'll always be remembered for the controversy on the radio.
I guess that's where it all started, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It was just, there's no clear instruction from the team, and it sort of happened all year. It happened all year. It was just
progressively
a common theme, and just no one can make that hard decision. And And yeah, Norris was out in the lead and gave the lead back to Piastri. And
he did the undercut.
He did, yeah, yeah. He did. He did.
And the whole time I was saying, if you're going to do like, you know what, I don't even know. But like, if you're going to do the undercut, then you have to give the place back.
Yeah, I know. It was just a weird team orders situation. It was good to see Piastri win, but just under super awkward and controversial circumstances, which is never good for your first win. I mean, not that he cares because he's young and strange and slightly autistic.
Bro, I think we've just figured out the whole McLaren.
Yeah,
if you listen to episode 92, I think it is.
Yeah. That's the hottest take of the year. It was funny because you have to watch the episode. You had to be there sort of thing. But James and I had the exact same thought about the lovely McLaren team fans at their head office.
For the last round, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, that was Seat Oil Central. So RFK should have been in there.
So we jump over to Belgium. George Russell actually won the race.
Oh, tie whisperer.
But he got it taken off him. I think it was about 3 hours after the race. We woke up to the news. Yeah. So Hamilton inherited the win. Piastri was very close in second, only 0.6. Mm. And then Charles Leclerc third. Verstappen fourth. Norris fifth.
A tiny bit underweight, wasn't it?
Tiny bit underweight. Because he went so long on the tyres, he had no grip left, no tyre left. And because it's Spa, you don't do a lap to pick up any marbles. He got done for being underweight. So again, this shows Red Bull starting to really suffer. This is where it really noticed with Adrian Newey leaving.
Mm.
So there was no upgrades that were working. They went going in the wrong direction as well. So interesting time. And this is when it got interesting because Hamilton was winning. Piastri was winning. Norris won a race. Sainz won a race. So like how many different winners? Unbelievable. We move on to...
This is when we thought... Sorry to cut you off. This is when we thought... Okay, like something's happening here.
Yeah.
And then like, people were starting to look at the championship picture of what can happen. But Lando, I don't think at that point had taken off.
Well, he only won one race by that point.
That's right.
And then he comes to Max Verstappen's land, the Dutch Grand Prix, and wins the race. Wins it convincingly. Won by 22 seconds. And was absolutely dominated that race. And I was jumping on the bandwagon. I never saw him catching Max because I think it was just too much of a deficit.
Yeah.
But him winning that race convincingly really raised eyebrows. Verstappen second. Charles Leclerc third. Piastri again fourth. How many fourth places did he have?
Crazy.
And Carlos Sainz fifth. Again, how many fifth places did he have?
He's had a really consistent year, Oscar.
He has.
Finished every race.
Yeah, really consistent year and there or thereabouts. So people are really tipping him. We'll talk about that in our preview show coming up in Feb. But people are really tipping him to take the next step next year. So.
I hope so. Could be an awkward time for McLaren. It's already awkward. Could be even more awkward.
My prediction is by the end of 25, we'll see one of those McLaren drivers in that second Red Bull seat.
Yeah, that's a hot take.
You need it because Red Bull need to put a superstar in there because who knows what Max is going to do. You can't be caught with your pants down either.
No.
Again, I think Charles Leclerc at the start of the season, he would have said to himself, if I don't win the championship, I want to win two races. And he won at Monaco and he won at Monza.
Yeah.
So again, unbelievable, huge. Unbelievable scenes. And we had a lot of these scenes throughout the year. We had big wins for a Ferrari at Monza, big scenes, you know, at Monaco at his home race. So Leclerc first, Piastri second, Norris third. That's when Piastri did that amazing move in the first corner. And then Leclerc surprisingly stayed out on did a one stop and stayed and finished and won the race. So
I'm pretty sure that's where Lando went over one of many times over the radio and said he had to give the place back. That's when I started getting turning.
Yeah, you were. This was turning point, James, and this is the turning point for a lot of people as well.
A lot of fans.
And
because you're allowed to make a move in the first corner.
But you know what about team radios? It is pretty crazy. Like, you don't put a microphone on like a soccer player after a tackle.
Nah.
You don't put a microphone on a footy player after a free kick. It's amazing that we can listen to their exact thoughts after this.
It's to their detriment.
It is. But who knows what's going to happen with MotoGP, that coming in as well.
Mm.
Azerbaijan Grand Prix. Oscar Piastri with another win. Charles Leclerc second and George Russell third.
No Red Bull
at all. Verstappen finishing fifth, 77 seconds behind Piastri, which is just crazy.
Crazy.
I don't remember what exactly happened in the last bit of that race, but I remember them being big incident with Sainz and Perez crashing in that back straight. So, which was pretty wild.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Sainz moved over into Perez.
It did, yeah. Yeah, it was sort of that awkward incident. But again, I mean, Piastri showing it that he was up there and absolutely dominated that race. And again, 77 seconds for Verstappen is just wild. So
it is wild. It just shows how much the car still, you know, how much you can and can't drive around the car.
Yeah, I know. And that shows...
Even if you're Max Verstappen.
I mean, that's the thing with Perez. I mean, he was finishing 25 seconds behind Max and the car was the best.
Yeah.
And then when the car got bad, like for a lack of a better term, he was just further away and just...
Not even making Q2s.
Oh, yeah. And that's just... Yeah. I mean, this is crazy. You just can't have that being... Even in a top five car, you got to get out of Q... You know, you got to get out of Q1. So, yeah. That was a big turning point for him. And then I think after that, for Perez, he just looked nowhere. That's after he signed his contract, which was hilarious. So, we'll see what happens after that. But yeah, back to Azerbaijan. Ferraris looked good. Leclerc took pole and signs in third. So, they had the pace. But but just throughout the whole race, so just from memory, it was just a McLaren show. So, kudos to Oscar making the right decisions throughout the race. All right, Jimmy Boy, we are moving on to...
McLaren train.
Singapore Grand Prix. Norris first, Verstappen second, Oscar Piastri third. And that just shows Max coming back.
I wasn't picking him to even podium that race.
No, I wasn't picking him either. And obviously one of Red Bull's really tough circuits.
Bogey track.
They've never done well there the last few years. So for him to get in second, amazing. But Norris dominated.
Yep.
Third win for the season. My bet was looking great.
McLaren double podium.
Then that's when the constructors' points started filling up. United States Grand Prix. Charles Leclerc from nowhere wins the race. Ferrari 1 and 2 again. It was just a Ferrari domination.
Yeah.
And this is what happened this year. Was some races just were dominated by certain cars.
It was just they were just suiting that circuit.
Suiting the circuit, and that's just such an un-Formula One thing to do for the last 15 years maybe.
Mm.
Like, it was one of those interesting things in watching, like, those season reviews back in the day of, when they had the highlights of the race for the whole year. And it was like, oh, this is a McLaren track. This was a Ferrari track. Like, we haven't had that in the last few years. So, and it was definitely like that for this. More of a MotoGP thing sort of to do.
100%. And, like, the funny thing is that race is it was on while we were partying with Pecco Bagnaia and that's Maverick Vinales at 4 in the morning.
Yeah. I don't have any memories of that race because I was dead to the world with Curtie and I had, Mexican COVID or something. Something pretty crazy. Speaking of Mexican Grand Prix was next up.
Good segue.
So, Carlos Sainz wins the race. I mean, amazing. Amazing scenes. And Ferrari, just going back to these results, it is really interesting how they just came up and won these races. So, 2 in a row for Ferrari. Norris second, Charles Leclerc third,
double podium,
and then Mercedes fourth and fifth, which is a bit of a common theme. But yeah, Carlos Sainz just again dominated that race.
Underrated year, I think he's just been underrated.
Underrated year, definitely. Norris second, and then 34 seconds behind was Leclerc. So big gaps.
Yeah,
big gaps. Brazilian Grand Prix,
amazing race.
Max Verstappen, probably almost the performance of the year.
Yeah.
Starting 17th, I believe, coming through the pack. And I think he was up to like 8th after the first corner. But he showed some amazing things on that track in the last 10 years or his F1 career. And that one was right up there.
Incredible race. And as you said, it's easier to appreciate afterwards.
Yes, 100%.
But through those crazy Brazilian conditions, very Ayrton Senna-esque.
Yes, very true, very true. And
Cemented the title.
And shout out Alpine, second and third, Ocon and Gasly. What an amazing turnaround.
Another big event was a Stroll saga.
Oh.
Strollgate.
That was shittest move I've ever seen on a motorsport.
Could be Dick of the Week event of the year as well. That's nomination for Dick of the Week.
So if anyone hasn't seen it, Stroll just, oh God, he just span out. Was it the formation lap?
Yeah, it's crashed. Did he spin then crash?
Yeah, he spun and then the car was okay. He probably needed a new front wing and then just drive straight through the gravel trap.
Yeah.
It just bogs the car.
Fuck, he's useless.
Oh, absolutely useless. Absolutely.
And then just walks straight out.
Yeah, didn't care. Into his... That's what annoyed the heck out of me. Yeah. So that's what annoys the heck out of anyone. He's just, there's no care factor. Las Vegas, again, Mercedes come out and dominate. Russell first,
they were quick.
Hamilton second, and Carlos Sainz third.
Again.
Crazy. Carlos Sainz had a great year, and this is why this review show is interesting, because we always go back to that. Leclerc fourth, and Max Verstappen fifth. Just cruising home.
Cemented the title that race.
Yeah, just cruising home. And
Underwhelming celebration.
It was probably the most underwhelming one we've ever seen.
Yeah. Just shaking hands.
Yeah.
No real enjoyment. That's the team harmony thing right there.
There was a much bigger celebration for McLaren winning the Constructors.
1,000%. There was a bigger celebration for George Russell just winning that race.
Yeah, good point. So what McLaren's part owned by pretty much the richest man in Bahrain, and he owns an airline, and he flew the whole team to a party in the Bahrain, and they partied for like 2 days after the race.
No way.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's such a like rich dog Arab thing to do.
All right, and then we move on to Qatar.
Second last race.
Max Verstappen.
Yeah.
Wins the race. Unbelievable. Charles Leclerc second, Oscar Piastri third, Russell fourth, and then Gasly fifth. I mean, it's just an amazing turnaround from Alpine. I mean, they were terrible. They were second last in the first half of the season, and they've come back and they submitted sixth in the Constructors' Championship.
So. It shows as well for Formula One in general to not stop trying to develop that car. I know it's such an easy thing to say.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. But they could have just looked at next year. This was a failure. But that a new team principal come in and he really changed things. And it was really good because French, you know, the French, they're very, you know, stubborn. And getting Flavio Briatore back in the helm, which was obviously key to the success in 04.
Controversial.
05 and 06, Alonso winning his championships. Very controversial because he was head up of the Crashgate 2009, Nelson Piquet Jr. Purposely crashing at Singapore, interestingly enough. Lost mass of the world championship. All right, final race of the season, Mr. James Shaw. Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, Lando Norris, Cocktease Norris wins. Carlos Sainz second.
Again.
Leclerc third. You know what? Carlos Sainz has been the surprise for me.
Yeah.
He has been there or thereabouts in most races, and for him to get kicked out and put into the Williams, apparently his pace in the Williams looks really sharp and really interesting. So that's going to be an interesting one to look at because Williams probably have arguably one of the strongest mid-pack teams with two really consistent drivers. So that's the most exciting part.
You know what? That was my secret to success was winning Formula One tipping was I always had Sainz up there.
Interesting because I never had him up there.
Yeah.
He was always good
for a top five. Easy.
That was the year that was. Congratulations to Max Verstappen on his third world title?
Fourth.
Fourth world title. My God.
That's 21. How boring the celebrations were.
Fourth world title, which is pretty unbelievable. And it just happens so quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And then McLaren winning the Constructors, which is very unusual for F1 as well. For a driver championship winner not winning the Constructors championship. Yeah, it's very, very interesting. Now, let's have a look at our predictions from the start of the year because I reckon we might have had them a little bit wrong, Jimmy boy.
All right. So, first off, I had myself. Max Verstappen first.
Okay. Well done.
Sergio Perez second.
Not so good.
Not very good at all. Third, Lando Norris.
Yep.
Fourth, Charles Leclerc. Fifth, Carlos Sainz.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas Love.
Yes. Hang on. Max first. Lando second. Charles Leclerc third, Piastri fourth, and Carlos Sainz fifth.
So I picked first and fifth.
Mm.
All right, Thomas Love, Max Verstappen first.
Yep.
George Russell second.
Yeah.
Lewis Hamilton third. So you had Mercedes up there.
Yeah, I did. I thought they were going to really have a good year.
This is what proves what's so funny is you didn't pick McLaren for the first time ever. Charles Leclerc fourth. And Sergio Perez fifth.
There you go.
No Carlos Sainz.
No Carlos Sainz.
No Lando Norris.
No Piastri.
Daniel, Max Verstappen, Charles Leclerc, Sergio Perez, Lando Norris, and Lewis Hamilton.
Jeez, you know what? He was almost the closest, Daniel, I would give it to him.
Mm.
Because, yeah, I mean, we all thought Piastri, but no one had... Well, I didn't have Lando.
I had Lando second. Third.
Okay, I'll give you that one then. I'll give you that one. But, yeah, just an incredible... I mean, it's weird. It was a weird year because, for me, it was really exciting. Mm. Formula One, for me, is still very exciting and the results. It's still lacking just something. I don't know what it is. I think... It's lacking, and it might be different next year. It's just lacking some sort of
it's only, throughout the race. What's lacking, I guess, was we knew Max was going to win the title.
Yeah.
If that was like that for the whole season, it'd be amazing.
Yeah, true. Yeah, if Max didn't win the first few races and then dominate the year like that, it would have been a different occurrence, yeah.
So the second half of the season, it really perked me up, and it was so... And some rounds are more interesting than watching MotoGP, which is a massive thing to say.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah. Yeah, it was. There were some really, really good races in there. I really enjoyed waking up early on the Monday morning and watching them. I think I might do that for next year, because you're just going to really zone in and concentrate on the race.
Yeah.
Where if you got bloody... You're watching at 11 o'clock, you don't get to bed till 1:30, and then...
Australians.
And then we've got the pod on Monday, so...
And work. You know what, though? You know what my biggest takeaway is Haas.
Yeah.
Pound for pound kings, as pound you say. Pound, I love that.
Yep.
But they've put it into Q3s.
I know.
It's just been incredible. Their pace has been really good, especially into the second half of the year.
Yeah.
But I love seeing an independent team, have
Hulkenberg,
a crack.
Hulkenberg is just incredible what he's done. And again, he's the most experienced driver ever not to get a podium.
Yeah.
So, hopefully that will change with Sauber changing over to Audi. Hopefully that just shows something. They might come up with an amazing part or invention or something for these new regulations in 26. But yeah, again, looking at those miniature teams, you got Alpine. They look good. They look better for next year.
Look better.
Williams have a great lineup. Sauber have a different lineup as well. There's a lot of changes coming, so
it's just so hard to pick though, a Formula One, because it's just so up and down, and because they can develop in simulators, you don't know what cards they're holding, and you don't know what they're gonna do as well. You don't know their next move.
Exactly.
So it's
well, Mercedes might come out next year and got their new little Kimi Antonelli, and he might do something. I mean, I got high hopes for him. Who knows what Hamilton's gonna do on a Ferrari? That's gonna be interesting. Massive. As I said to...
isn't it crazy? There's two multiple going to an Italian factory.
Yeah.
I could never see that.
Yeah. They're in good stead, the Italians. They've got some winning manufacturers and some... They're probably some of the best riders and drivers in the world.
Yeah,
so.
Definitely.
So, yeah, it's super exciting. And it was a great year. My highlight... We'll go through highlights and everything at the Christmas special next week. But the highlight was just seeing the McLaren
it's good to see.
Resurrection. They've worked so hard on that team.
They've been down in the dumps
for
a long time. Down in
the dumps. They nearly went broke about, 2014-15. They paid Alonso all this money. They could not produce a car that was worthy to be on the grid. And then they've come in and beat the giants of Red Bull, which is just incredible.
Yeah.
For a smaller outfit. I mean, they're not the might of Ferrari. They're not the might of Red Bull. And to do what they did was very underrated, I would say.
For sure. And back against the wall at the start of the season.
Mm. They didn't look flash at the start of the season at all. Testing, they didn't look good.
They showed some signs last year, though.
They did. Yeah. They did. But, I mean, we didn't pick them. You had Lando up there, but I didn't pick McLaren to go to that next step, especially with Oscar as a young driver.
But he's been really good.
He's been super good and super consistent, finishing every race and just calm and collective. And
that's what you need, though. That's what wins your constructors' championships.
Well, we had a podcast the other day with a young motorbike rider. We're not going to say who just yet. And just the calmness was just incredible. Like,
for what he does.
For what they do is just, like, I think you just have to be like that. So, it separates the good from the
great.
The great, yeah.
It's definitely exciting. All right. Got a couple of hot takes for you, Thomas Love.
Yep.
First one, Heart_Melbourne. Red Bull should keep Perez. Third in constructors. More wind tunnel. Easy championship for... I was about to say Maverick Vinales. Max Verstappen.
Look, it's looking more and more likely that they're going to keep him. Apparently, from our inside source, that he's... been pretty much told he's not welcome, but then he
so
wants
rude.
It's a 20 he wants $20 million, so I don't think a team's going to be able to afford to do that, so we'll see what happens. He does have a contract, and contracts are made to be broken, but if it's a water tight seal contract, it's going to be hard to break.
Well, a lot of times contracts are broken because of money, and if it's 20 million, it must be euro as well.
I'm assuming so. But yeah, I mean, who do you put in that seat? Lawson, Yuki Tsunoda. I mean, are they going to do anything that's going to be that amazing?
That's one thing I haven't talked about. Tsunoda that whole year.
Fraud. He's again, in the same category. He's not even in the same category as Vinales because Vinales won a race. But he's a fraud because everyone thinks he's so amazing young talent, but he's absolutely done nothing. He's like done nothing.
Yeah. Maybe a couple of top tens.
Well, he's finished fifth once, I think, because everyone else crashed. He's never like shown like... Gasly, for instance.
Yeah.
He finished fifth and third this year in a car that was way worse than what a Visa cash grab Toro Rosso thingo was. So, they've got to show signs of excellence.
They're just going to have a breakout race.
Yeah.
But, like, changeable conditions should even play playing field.
Yeah.
Like Canada.
And you know what? Something about Lawson, about changeable conditions, he filled in for Daniel Ricciardo at the Dutch Grand Prix. And I remember... Lap one, he was on lap one in qualifying. They put slicks on and it was raining.
That's all right.
And he did an amazing lap.
He didn't even have practice.
Didn't practice. Did straight into it. Like, imagine doing that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You couldn't do that on a game.
Nah. No way.
Nah.
It's interesting.
Mm.
It's a good take.
Yeah.
Again, Malbon. The fact Leclerc was only 18 behind Lando Norris demonstrates he was never a title threat to Verstappen.
Great point. Yeah. And that's not talked about as much.
Yeah.
And we look at the results of the year. I mean, Carlos Sainz, I mean, he was there or thereabouts. If he didn't have that one race off. A couple of incidents and issues. I mean, it's amazing. Only 18 points. Four race wins for Lando. So, compared to three for Charles. So, yeah, it's a great take. And
the Ferrari's got the speed.
Well, yeah. Imagine, we'll see what happens next year. Either imploding with Hamilton or succeeding.
Yeah.
I've got Leclerc finishing ahead of Hamilton next year.
You're saying it's going to implode.
Mm-hmm.
At Viviro Salex, hot take, Williams does not get P7 plus constructors. Williams does not get P7 plus in the constructors.
Yep.
James Vowles is out.
Oh, okay. If they don't get top seven in the constructors. I got a lot of time for James Vowles. I reckon he's a very good operator. I think they've been dealt a harsh blow with...
Sargent.
With Sargent, definitely. And I think Colapinto Pinto coming in, having a really good couple of races, then having some issues, hurt them a lot financially with fixing cars. And they just had some unlucky races. Albon didn't really show much the second half of the season, but... I mean, Sainz and Albon, he's right. They've got no excuse.
It's a good team.
Yeah, but I think they're in there for the long haul, and he's come out and said that. He said, look, I don't care about this year. I don't care about next year. It's going to be the rule changes in 26 we're going for.
Can you see them ever fighting for a title again?
Well, look at McLaren.
Mm.
Look at McLaren from 5-10 years ago. They were nowhere. And now
but is McLaren a bigger backed team?
To be honest with you, no, they're not, because if Williams start going better, for lack of a better term, they'll get more sponsors, more money, become a bigger team.
But that's...
Williams has been around a long time.
But they haven't done much for a long time as well.
No, they haven't won a championship for a very long time.
Villeneuve?
Jacques Villeneuve, 1997.
True.
Because Hakkinen was at 98, 99, and then Shuey 5 years.
It's interesting. I'd love nothing more than to see Williams up there, but...
The thing is, we've got to remember,
big factory teams.
Someone's going to finish 7th and 8th.
Yeah.
McLaren, Ferrari, Mercedes.
That's always up for grabs.
Yeah, true.
That's always up for grabs.
We'll see these new rule changes. It'll be really interesting.
All right. Voice hot takes. Our boy at Willie Nels.
G'day guys, Rwanda F1 bid, exciting times, I'm a fan of it, big investment from the area, backers it from local advanced weaponry manufacturers in the area, maybe that's Wakanda, lots of support from neighbouring countries, princes in the area, large sums of money, they've just got to flick their bank details, and a bit of inside scoop on the new track. I know a lot of F1 fans love driver aids. Well, this track's going to spread the aids throughout, fast and flowing, and particularly in the back straight.
Oh, Willie Nels.
Hilarious. You know, that could be hot take of the year, Willie Nels.
Well, comedy's all about timing.
Yeah, that was good.
And I half thought he was being serious there for a second.
Yeah, he got me good.
He shocked me in the good way. So well done, Nels, you little legend.
That's hilarious.
That was funny. He's spot on. It's an interesting bid, though. It's what do they get out of going to Africa?
I don't even know where that is in Africa.
Is it a political ploy? Is it, you know, it's just, I know why.
I've heard rumors that they've wanted to go to Africa. Back to Africa.
They want to go to every continent. That's
but
the thing.
If they're going to go to Africa, you'd think they go to South Africa.
Yeah. Why is that, you reckon?
Well, it's not like war torn.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Yeah, there's a little
it's
bit.
Still pretty bad.
They're
there.
Pretty bad.
Still pretty bad.
Yeah.
We actually talk about that now. One of our guest episodes coming up, funny enough.
True. Yes. Yes. Do I want it? I don't really care. As long as the racing's good, that's all I care about. It would make more sense to go back to like Kiami, I think.
Kyalami. That's
Kyalami,
in South Africa.
Yeah.
They might be. The cars might have outgrown Kyalami though. I don't know the track super well. South Africans are probably so angry right now, but.
Yeah, I know. Well, we're saying go to South Africa pretty much. I just don't know what they get out of going to Rwanda. I just don't think it'll bring the tourism, and it's going to cost a lot of money. Could they probably spend the money elsewhere and maybe?
So the track, they have to build a track?
I'm assuming.
Or they'll have to build at least facilities for it and homologate it.
And look, I'm no geography master, but I'm assuming that Rwanda isn't probably one of the wealthier countries, and there would be a bit of poverty in Rwanda. So money might be best spent on that rather than bringing Formula
Bro,
One.
Bro, imagine like being some like person that lives in poverty in Rwanda.
Yes.
I've never said the word Rwanda so much in my life. And like there's buses of just like, you know, Instagram influencers drinking, taking selfies like past them. And they're just thinking like, what the hell is going on?
Have you seen the flex in Africa?
Why is all these white people around?
Have you seen the flex in Africa? Like the flex in America is like drinking, I don't know, like tequila, like really expensive tequila. The flex in Africa is like a big water bottle.
Yeah. Have you seen the guy that like tips it out and stuff as well? It's wild.
So, look, I'm assuming all of Africa obviously isn't like that. We're not saying that. But it's just an interesting place to go to grow the sport, I think.
It's very interesting. But the money has to be spent by Formula One, and investors have to be putting money into that. The country can't afford that, surely.
Well, who knows? Why would they?
Unless they scam some granny out of $20 million or whatever. At Jared Madsen.
Jazza.
We got two from him. So he's done a 53-second and a 21. I see what he's done there.
Good work.
We can all agree that one of the highlights of the MotoGP season this year was the retro liveries at the British Grand Prix for the 75th anniversary. Next year, it's F1's 75th anniversary, and they have to do the same thing. They're trying to do this combined car launch at the O2 Arena next year. It's going to be shit. It's just going to be liveries. We have to have retro liveries, proper retro liveries, not just the special blue on the side pod or something. Proper retro liveries. And do it at Monza. Every team has a history in the sport that they can go back on a beautiful livery and choose. Except for Haas, they just can put flames on the car because that's the legacy that they currently have.
Well, that's like Chuck out.
What do you guys think?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, love it.
Great response. Great answer. I think you do it at somewhere like Silverstone, like MotoGP. You do it for one round.
Yeah, one round. You look at Ferrari would be probably not a big difference. But, McLaren with that white and red would be just incredible.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that. Red Bull have always been the similar. But they could do some sort of...
They could do an old school David Coulthard Red Bull.
Yeah, like a homage to that. Yeah. Or like an old Toro Rosso one or something like that would be cool for cash grab. Like Vettel winning in 2008 Monza in that Toro Rosso.
Yeah,
it was like
cool.
red. Yeah, that would look really cool. There's countless. Williams in there.
You could do McLaren in like the old West colours.
You could.
Just to change it up.
Yeah. Yeah, Benetton became... Did Benetton become...
Jaguar?
No.
Where does Jaguar come from? Jaguar was from a... Or did Jaguar turn into Red Bull?
Red Bull, yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah. But yeah, Benetton, I think's Alpine. I think that's the correlation there.
Yeah, okay. There's so many things you could do.
Yeah, because that'd be cool having that, like, you know, that Mild 7 livery and...
Oh my God, yeah. But yeah. Like, MotoGP's done it. Surely F1 can do it. Normally, it's the other way around.
True. Well, it's 70... Well, how is MotoGP older than Formula 1, by the way?
Yeah, that's weird.
That's crazy.
And only by a year.
Yeah, I don't... So it'd be 49 to 50, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I like it. Jared again.
All right, guys. Hot take on behalf of my dad here.
Oh, his dad.
He thinks Max is going to win the championship again next year because for the same reason that he kind of won this year, the other teams, both of their drivers, are just going to take points off each other where no one's taking points off Max and he's just going to go on and win the championship again.
There's one flaw in that. Mm. His drivers will still take points off Max.
Yeah. Yeah, it's yeah, I mean, interesting take from Jazza. And Jazza's dad, sorry, yeah. Senior Jazz. but yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean,
it's one of the rare Formula One, I guess.
But what Jazza's saying, which makes sense,
I get it.
If the Red Bull's fast, we know Max is going to win and he's not going to get beaten by his teammate. So, yeah, there's a handful of points there that he will win every race. Mm. So,
that's a good point.
It is.
You can't pick next year, that's for sure.
No. We're looking forward to our preview show coming up in Feb and we'll be there, Formula One, Australian Grand Prix round. We're going to be both round ones, James.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Both round ones.
And they're not far off each other, are they?
They're 2 weeks apart. Two or 3 weeks apart.
Yeah,
sorry.
Beautiful.
So
give us a little bit of time to recover after Buran.
Well, we land back from Thailand on the 12th.
Yeah.
We have the 13th to... No, we come back and we have to go to the Grand Prix on the Thursday on the 13th.
Fuck.
So pretty crazy.
Huge.
That was the show, eh?
It's been a good F1 season.
Yep.
Hopefully it stays as close from the start of the season next year.
It will. There's going to be no one that's going to shoot out and dominate, that's for sure.
Let's hope so. But it's been good. It's been another successful year, Curdy. He's shaking his head.
That could have been better. He's thinking, nah.
Fucking hot.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you listening.
See you guys.
See ya.